sleep by yourself when you fast. Amen. And then come together again. Amen. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or lack of self-control. And I did it. Boy, I'd seek that word out and do it the way God said do it. Amen. The Bible said, anoint your head, I'd anoint my head. Said, don't look like you're fasting. I'd go around trying to grin just as miserable as a worm in ashes. Well, I wouldn't look that way. Hallelujah! God was making me when I was in my 20s and 30s. God was making me. He was forging me through a crucible of fire and suffering. And I tell you, we had some suffering too. We didn't even have enough to eat a lot of the times in Arkansas. Brother, that place, they can starve you to death. I ain't no joke. Woo! Well, there's a lot of other places. I just didn't hit them all. Praise God. But in November of 1967, for God to get me prepared for this ministry, really, and I'd had several revelations before that, an angel stood in my room in 1957, February, in Memphis, Tennessee, on a real cold, clear day, and told me about this ministry. My mother told me something about it, but somebody tell me what a prophet was. You're going to be a prophet. What's that? What's that? And, oh, Lord, I started studying the prophets. I started reading about them, find out what kind of fellas they were, their lifestyle, and what their ministry was, what their message was, and how they got treated. Oh, I found out that was terrible. They didn't get treated very good. They let them in the front door, but when they left, they had to go out the back door. They just was highly unpopular, to say the least. But anyway, in that November of 67, I was on the sixth day of the fast, and that vision came to me down in Bradenton, Florida, where we were living at the time. And all of a sudden, I was in a big room, seated 200 people in a Holiday Inn meeting room. And I've been in many of them since then, because God was showing me something. And a lot of you folks come out of one of them rooms. Didn't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's where I saw Brother Brown, this young black brother. Where are you now, Brother Brown? Oh, you way back yonder in a Holiday Inn in New York. What year was that? Yeah, 1977, November. It cold and rainy, way out near the Kennedy Airport. Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you separate him unto me for the work of this ministry. And I called him out. I don't go around calling people out. Like I told you before service, I'd go around picking them out, I'd have a mess. You would too. I'd pick some out, and boy, they just didn't work. You ain't joking. The ones I picked out, they didn't work. That's the reason I wait on the Lord. I learned that. It took a long time. Boy, preachers are hard-headed. I was hard-headed. Boy, the Lord had to do some doing to teach me. I'll tell you that. I've been through the school of hard knocks. The Lord said, hey, settle down here now and behave yourself. Yeah. Praise God. Take me to the woodshed and I'd come out of there. Woo! It's always 10 days. Isn't that something? Three times God took me to the woodshed and held me down right at the jawbone of death. He says, I'm burning this all of you. Boy, when he'd get through with me, and I'd begin to feel good, I'd say, why didn't you do that 20 years ago, Lord? I'd been way down the road with you. He just waited a long time. He wanted me to see how necessary it was and how I'd appreciate it after he did it, because I tried to change some things, and I couldn't. Boy, he burned them out of me first class, 10 days, right in the jaws of death. I'd have died if it'd been natural. But when God chases you, there ain't nothing natural about it except you hurt. He can hold you down with a cancer. Right now in the jaws of death. That old cancer would kill anybody else, but God ain't going to let it kill you or me because it's chastening. Shoot, reading the Bible, didn't Hezekiah have a cancer? Sure he did. That old thing wouldn't get healed. He cried and said, Lord, don't you remember how much good I've done for you? The Lord sent out the prophet O.S. said, I'm going to give you 15 years, boy. Hallelujah. How about the prophet calling him a boy? I don't know for sure about that, but I wouldn't be surprised. That prophet had, man, he had power over them kings. They go tell them kings where to get off. You remember one knocked on David's door one day? Old Nathan said, "Hey, I got a parable to speak to you, king." Told him that little parable about that ewe lamb. Man stole his neighbor's ewe lamb. He said he's going to die. He said, "You're the man." Oh, that's what a prophet has to do. Stick your finger in their face. You're the man. Not somebody else. It's you. In that room, in that big motel room, there's 200 people. And I was going to speak to them, and I went blank. I said, "Lord, you got to give me that message back here." He gave me something else. I prayed. He said, "Read Jude verses 22 and 23. I read Jude verses 22 and 23 to those folks. And it says, "Of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garment spotted by the flesh." Yes. And then I was back out of that vision and laying on that bed, right where I was when I started. It wasn't that quick, I don't believe. Quick as I told it. But it was pretty quick, and I was back out. And I spent the rest of the day waiting on the Holy Ghost to give me the revelation of what that vision meant. And that afternoon, the Holy Ghost began to speak in that ear right there. I've heard that Spirit speak a number of times. He don't go around telling me everything to do. The Bible said, by the way, the just shall live and walk by faith. I'd be glad if God just sit up on my shoulder and just tell me everything to do. But he don't do it. Most of the time I'm out here walking by faith. What is your righteousness? Your righteousness is the faith of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I read that along about that time in Habakkuk 2 verses 2 through 4. And the Bible said in verse chapter 1 he had a vision. Verse 1 of chapter 2 he said, "I went up on my tower to see what he's going to say to me." And here's what he said. "Write the vision and make it plain upon tables." Here's a man with a vision. "That he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it'll speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry." The next verse says, "The soul that is lifted up in him is not justified or right. But the just shall live by his faith." Boy, I read that and I said, "Woo, thank you for a vision, but thank you for faith." Amen. Thank you for faith. Where'd I get it? Like 2 Timothy 1 in verse 5, "I found it first, son, in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, that unfeigned faith, and I've discerned it in you also." I read a scripture out here praying this week, preparing for camp meeting. I always get that old big Bible. I kneel there and walk around, and I grab that Bible and go over by the window and look up them scriptures the Holy Ghost gives me. Monday, the Lord gave me one. Woo, I love it. Psalm 116, verse 16. He said, "Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid, for thou hast loosed thy bonds." I'm not only your servant, but I'm the son of your handmaid. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. My mother was a saint before I was ever born. I was conceived by divine intervention. I don't mean I was conceived like Jesus. Ain't no such thing as that. But she was born by an angel. And her fasting and praying, God would give her a son to be a servant of God. And truly I am God's servant, and I'm the son of his handmaid. God found that faith in my mother and dad. They got it back about World War I when God dealt with them and saved them and healed my mother of cancer and spared her life when she was a young married woman.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over for side two at this time. Thank you.